Yeah, that's right. Guess what? It's Tuesday slash Wednesday, and that's right. The Sports Brew is back. It is can crushing. It is beer blowout. It is Jaeger bombing. Yeah, I did rock three of those bad boys. Yeah,
you hit the trifecta there, bro.
That's right. We got the hat trick going on over here. And yes, as always, the captain does have a very refreshing Captain and Pepper. We'll also do the Captain and Coke, but hey, the Dr. Pepper was open, and which means it was just what the doctor ordered.
It is.
So I'm going to mix it up. But yeah, that's right. Sports Brew is back, man. It is a can-crushing Tuesday, Wednesday edition of the Sports Brew, because as always, we tend to get a late start, and lo and behold, it is after midnight. But we had to tune in and see a little bit of the VCU-Wichita State game.
Yeah.
Didn't end very well for VCU, mainly because they couldn't hit a freaking free throw to save their butts.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That was sad. But, you know, it's early.
It's November. Time to get your losses out of the way now.
Yeah, go ahead. Eat a couple now and then get cracking. I'm sure Shaka Smart will have those guys, you know, running some drills and working on the free throws, man.
They're going to be running all right.
So that was a little bit bumpy. Other game we kind of kept sneaking out to watch a little bit of. Of course, last week, one of the things we talked about, excuse me, oh goodness, one of the things last week that we brewed about, talked about, and drank about, apparently.
Burped about,
was the Duke-Kentucky game. And so Shannon, you know, wanted to run his pie hole and wanted to throw down a little beer bet. And today, not only did Duke, take care of that and deliver a victoire, which will make all the Duke fans happy. That would be D-Stat. That would be myself. And that would certainly be the Fantasy Failhorn. So we get the W early season. But they also, which will make Mark happy, covered the line.
I told him. I said, take Duke in the over.
They did it.
And they did it.
It's early. I try not to get too excited about early season stuff because it's not always how you start. It's how you finish.
Right.
It's, you know, and
you're talking about a team that's got experience with veterans versus a team that's got freshmen.
Yeah. So Kentucky's very young.
So Duke should have won that game. And yeah. I told him that. I was like, take Duke in the points regardless of, you know, how many.
Look at that, man. Here in the basement, a can crushing Tuesday, and we're already flexing around multiple topics here. So the VCU Rams blow it. And I still think that was that should have been called for, like, ball interference.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever at the end of that game.
The ball was on the rim, and he touched it as the ball was still on the rim.
Whoa, he touched the ball?
You said balls.
He did.
You telling me that was kind of a rim job?
he did a rim job.
Oh, man.
And we let him off the hook.
Yeah, VCU did let him off the hook. It's the way that it goes, man. But it's early. It's early. It's early.
It's early. College basketball is back. I'm glad to have it back.
I want to know how many people were up at midnight last night other than me, because I'm almost always up really late. But, I mean, there were games on at, like, midnight at, I want to say, like, midnight,
the
2,
last 24
4.
Hours,
yeah, I mean,
yes.
It's, like, nonstop. I know there's different time zones, but, man, how hardcore do you have to be? And, obviously, a lot of people are excited about college basketball kicking back up. I'm a little bit chiller than McGuffin is here until we get closer to March, and then I start ramping up. But, you know, Shannon over here is a huge Kentucky fan, as you've probably noticed in some of our older podcasts when we talked about Kentucky. And we did a little Boys to Men, end of the road for that class.
Because they all got drafted.
Yeah, like six people drafted or whatever. Ridiculous. So he's probably going to be fairly vocal over the course of the season. And we'll give you some update. We'll throw some bones out there for the college basketball fans, because I'm interested, though the NFL for me is king. So
yeah, same here.
That's the way that it goes. But anyway, yes, down here in the basement, Sports Brew is boom shakalakin. We're enjoying some beverages. We're going to blow through a whole bunch of NFL jibba-jabba. And I'm in a slightly better mood this week since the Redskins didn't play. And fortunately, they did not lose to the bye. They did give up about 500 yards of of offense to the bye, though. And thankfully, I can mercifully wave bye-bye to both the Panthers game, the Steelers game, and the first half of the season, which turned into a big bag of suck. So one of the things I'm very curious about are how the Redskins really do respond after the bye. Hopefully they come back recharged, refreshed with a more diverse game plan and offensive attack. They're going to need that. The NFL, just by happenstance, since the Eagles seem to also be a big bag of suck at the moment, the Redskins face the Eagles coming out of the bye, which I think is an advantageous game to, you know, roll into, quite frankly.
Get yourself better, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I joked around last week about how, you know, in the suggestion box, for Cam Newton's suggestion box, you just, you know, the suggestion is play the Redskins, and that's the cure-all for everybody. Well, you might be able to say the same thing about Philadelphia.
Yeah, That was just a pitiful. I mean, Vic got knocked out in that game.
Yeah, he got tattooed.
Foles came in, gave him a little spark at the beginning, but, I mean, the Cowboys figured it out pretty quick.
Foles was able to hit a wide-open Jeremy Maclin. I mean, that was a blown coverage by the defense. I don't know how much credit – I mean, he made the throw, but
yeah,
it's not like he hit Maclin in stride.
Yeah, I mean –
but he was open. He hit it. So, touchdown Eagles, and I saw a lot of Eagles fans in the Facebook news feed go – like, yeah, Nick Foles era, woo! Of course, you know, as the game progressed,
It wasn't that.
No. Nick. it wasn't so much Nick Foles. It was more like Nick Folds, and the Eagles folded to the Dallas defense because that was atrociously bad.
Much more colorful language, I'm sure.
I'm sure the follow-up language by a lot of the Eagles fans was quite colorful, I have no doubt. And even as colorful as we get here on the Sports Brew, I'm not sure that we could make it through some of the expletives the Eagles fans were probably lobbing out at that one, but they certainly deserve the big, fat memorial Ryan Leaf loser horn. It's Failback Central. They made the Cowboys look supremely beast.
That's tough to do.
This year that has been very tough to do, but props to the Cowboys for doing that. They needed that win if they're going to, you know, make any kind of run the Giants enter their typical November failback mode. Of course, the Cowboys tend to have a December fail mode, so that'll probably balance out. But certainly looking forward to seeing how the Redskins respond. Griffin and Shanahan, all of them have a lot of work to do. Defense, we know, stinks, but very curious about that. However, if we're going to talk about the NFL, there's a couple of teams and a couple of games that I think serve as really kind of milestone, you know, seasonal mile markers, or just teams that are getting the job done, man. And you know, we talk a lot about football here, and one of the things that I think both Shannon and I really enjoy when you talk about the NFL is the league as a whole, the storylines that are there. And Andrew Luck, the Colts, and the entire Pagano experience, I got to tell you, man, I really love the storyline of the Colts. We talked about it a bit last week, but they went and they absolutely handled Jack, which they should have. I mean, that was the game they should have won. It was a short week, and I know you were particularly concerned about it being a short week and how they would respond and how they would look.
Yeah, I was a rookie quarterback. Even though he's grasping, you know, everything quickly, you still worry a rookie quarterback going on the road, short week, division opponent. But, man, they just whipped Jacksonville's butt, man.
Are you telling me Rashad Jennings didn't run all over them?
I didn't even see Rashad Jennings in the game.
If I recall correctly, he was like 11 rushes, 26, 27 yards.
Yeah, I think he showed up on Sunday, but he realized that the game was on Thursday.
Right, he showed up on the team flight. That's it. Because he certainly didn't show up in the game, dude. So thanks for that, Rashad Jennings. Nice game, buddy.
Yeah, I think I got like less than 2 points on my fantasy team from him. So.
Oh, yeah, he was a total waste. Total waste.
Terrible, but I mean...
Terrible.
Give credit to Luck and the Colts, man. I mean, and the defense actually played pretty well in that game. So,
well, you know, what's funny about that is when you talk about Rashad Jennings, mm-hmm. one of the things you kept seeing kind of the lead into this game was that the Colts were susceptible to the ground game.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, if you're going to look at Jacksonville, obviously, if they had Jones-Drew.
Nah, it would have been a different story if he was in the game.
Yeah, Jones-Drew, for whatever reason, seems to have the Colts number.
Yeah, he was taken, I think, late in the second round in his draft, and he was hoping that the Colts would have taken him, and quite frankly, I wish they would have as well.
Oh, God. That would have been scary good.
Because I think they took a die before him in that draft.
Yeah, or as Chris Berman would say,
Joseph, live and let a die.
Yeah. Thanks, Berman.
Yeah, thanks for that. Boomer.
What's in the box?
Lots of defenders, and Jennings wasn't able to run anywhere.
Nope.
Anybody else, but... You know, that was a game when you talk about the maturation of a young team, a team like the Colts, that has played very well and has rallied together phenomenally well as a team to create this story, this NFL storyline, not only of Andrew Luck in his rookie season, not only of the team rallying behind Pagano, but they're actually a good team. And a good team, even though they're young and they do have their flaws, but they're playing in a way, they're handling their business. And that was a game, yes, short week, potentially. I don't know that I would have called it a trap game, but if they had gone down to Jacksonville and just laid an egg.
Well, they lost to Jacksonville at home earlier this season.
Right.
So.
You know, but they went down, they handled their business. Defense played well. They did not give up a lot of yards on the ground. They generated some turnovers.
The mark of a team that's focused.
Right. That's a team that showed up prepared, and they executed their game plan. They did, they handled their business in that game. And that is one of the things that you want to see as teams go through the season, is finding different ways to win, facing different situations. And they've been able to do that and win in a myriad of ways.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think you have to look at the Colts at this point. And I know Jacksonville is not a particularly good team, but we understand that. Okay, I'm not saying the Jaguars are, it's like they went down and rolled over the 49ers. I understand that. But still, a young team.
It's a win in the NFL.
Yeah, it's a win. It goes in the win column, but they did what they were supposed to do. They played to win the game. They went down, they showed up, they took care of business. And as you said last week, the Colts now get a little mini bye week of sorts. They have a couple extra time to rest up, heal up, unplug if they need to for a day or two, and then get back to business and roll going forward.
Mm-hmm. And they got a big, big game this weekend at New England. Both teams 6-3. Right now, Indianapolis is fifth in the playoffs in the AFC and in prime position in Luck's rookie season to make a playoff run.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
Come on, man. Are you serious?
Sorry, Coach. I'm telling you, man. They're in prime position. I know. Look, it's 6-3. I shouldn't get ahead of myself, but I'm a little excited right now. Well, I didn't expect this, and it's a pleasant surprise.
I don't think anybody really expected it.
No, but I'm pleasantly surprised as a fan of the Colts that they have put it together this fast. Now, whether Luck hits the wall or they start to slow down, who knows? I mean, it's going to be tough sledding this weekend in New England.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that.
But their pass defense isn't that good, so Luck should have a pretty good day. Well, he may throw some picks, but
In all likelihood. But the Patriots did trade with Tampa Bay for Aqib Talib.
Yeah, he'll be in jail by like Thursday.
Okay. Well, nice job, Talib. So I'm curious to see if he's on the field. If so, how he plays, and if that helps, if that significantly helps the Patriots, because their secondary is very suspect.
It's atrocious.
Now, granted, they're able to kind of mask some of that because their offense is diverse enough and they've got enough weapons. Obviously, they still have Tom Brady, and I think if it's one thing that's absolutely clear in the NFL, if you have a franchise caliber quarterback, you're in a lot of games.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely
gives you a great opportunity to win, and they just. The Patriots offense is quite productive. So that's going to be a big test for Indianapolis to roll in there. If they can play with the kind of fire and intensity that they've been able to do the past few weeks, I believe they make a game of it. And that's one of those things. If they get a couple of good bounces, a couple of turnovers, it's certainly possible.
Yeah, I hope it's not a blowout. I hope they can at least stay in the game. I expect New England to win the game.
They should.
They should win the game at home. But I hope that the Colts don't, get railroaded. I hope that it's a close game and maybe with a chance to win there at the end. By the way, Justin, I heard that Tom Brady left Andrew Luck a voicemail this week.
Yeah, we actually got an exclusive copy of that.
Cool.
I don't know how we hacked the phone system.
That's how we roll here.
But anyway, Tom Brady had some words of advice.
You come into our house, you should get your behind kicked.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And really, for New England, and they're still a very good team. Obviously, they have their flaws, too. But this is an opportunity for them to essentially say, you know what? You guys have done you've played some good ball, but we're still kings of the AFC.
Yeah, we're still the defending AFC champs. And you got Belichick and you got Brady. You got a pretty good chance.
Yeah. But I'd love to see the Colts roll up there. For one reason, it would almost be like, and we've discussed this too, but kind of that refresh and renewal of the rivalry. And that might be one of those things that sets the stage. I don't know how much longer Tom Brady's going to play. I think he said he wants to play till, he's 40? Is that what he said?
So he's got about 5 more years.
Yeah. So he's got a little while left.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Well, we hear you, Tom. We got you, buddy. But anyway,
Tom's got a lot of different voices.
Tom does have a lot of different voices, man. It's some crazy stuff.
That's the fact, Jack.
Hey, look, man, we're just helping the sports world out, man. That's what we do here in the Sports Brew, dude. We're looking out for all of you guys. So
beautiful.
Damn right. Some of the random sound bites that pop up in here.
Great.
It'll catch you off guard a little bit, but that's the way that it goes. But for the next couple of years, I think it sets up beautifully to be one of those nice rivalries, and it might be one of those things. I mean, look, Peyton Manning's getting up there. Tom Brady's getting up there. There's some age with some of the people we look at in NFL and think of as the stars and the go-to guys. So their window's starting to shut. And you're going to be looking at somebody like Andrew Luck over the next few years, how he matures and develops as an NFL quarterback, and then how that team grows and develops around him.
And that's another thing to think about is these guys that are getting older, like a Peyton Manning and a Tom Brady. Enjoy these guys while you can.
Oh yeah, you better.
Ray Lewis. I mean, enjoy those guys while you can, because those guys pretty soon aren't going to be playing anymore. And it'll be, you know, like our dads or, you know, your older guys talking about, oh, well, back in the day, Mike Singletary was great. And, you know, you'll hear about all these guys and you never got to see them play. Well, this is your chance to be that guy now. I mean, pretty soon, I mean, these guys are going to be gone and
done,
retired and rolling into Canton together with the ugly ass yellow jackets.
That is an ugly jacket, man.
It's terrible.
That is ugly.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Look, dude, we do. It's an ugly jacket, man.
It's an ugly jacket, Pete. Come on.
You know, speaking of ugly things, the Cleveland Brown players, I don't know if you saw this news piece. They were talking about how they wanted their uniforms redesigned.
Well, good Lord, they can't get any worse.
I'm actually in full support of a Cleveland Browns uniform redesign. I think that would be a great idea.
I agree.
They're due.
Yes.
They're due. Freshen that thing up, man. Because
yeah, get the stain off.
Get the stain off. I'll give everybody a fun tip. Next time you're at work and you have a heavy-duty lunch and you need to make an escape to the bathroom, just if somebody asks you, just say you're taking the Browns to the Super Bowl. That's all you got to say, man. That's it.
Yes.
Who does that? Who
has time? Oh, Lord. Taking the Browns to the Super Bowl, buddy.
Great ass!
Oh, it just gets better and better. Anyway, off of ugly uniforms and the stain of the NFL, the Cleveland Browns. Enjoy it while it lasts, Mike Holmgren. And no, I don't think you're going to end up in Dallas, buddy.
Nope.
Don't think that's happening.
Not a chance.
But this was kind of a weird weekend. Obviously, there was a lot of good football, and there was actually a lot of really ugly football, quite frankly. I guess you could say that's the case with every particular weekend. But, you know, last week I railed pretty heavy on two particular calls in the NFL. One was the inadvertent whistle. And I, by the way, I still love the fact we queued up Flo Rida.
That was pretty good, man.
You know, whistle. But refs certainly blew some calls last week. You had that, literally, blew the whistle too early. And then they had what I still view as an incomplete pass by Ben Roethlisberger that was ruled a fumble, and then followed up by the non-call and the clipping. So you had, you know, a couple of calls that I thought were so-so. And most people probably didn't give a crap as far as the Panthers and the Redskins. I probably used the Peter Griffin thing too early.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I mean, I think that's what most people collectively said about the inadvertent whistle, mainly because it was the Redskins and the Panthers.
Right.
So not a real big deal. Not their team. You know, neither one of them is that good, so largely a non-issue.
Yeah, a lot of people, two teams that probably won't make the playoffs, who cares?
Yeah, who cares? I think that's what a lot of people felt like, who cares?
Right.
And then, I don't know if it was a semi-pity play on the whole Giants thing. I don't know what happened with that, but I still find that weird. But anyway, you saw a little bit of rumbling about that. Well, we get to this weekend, and you've got the whole mishandled clock shenanigans with the 49ers and the Rams.
Now, what happened in that game? I missed that.
Well, they were trying to do a measurement.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, while they're trying to do this measurement, a minute 19 seconds runs off the clock.
Is this in overtime or regulation?
No, this is regulation, man.
Wow.
Regulation. A minute 19 while they're trying to figure out the measurement. Nobody stops the clock.
Wow.
Just runs. A minute 19. Not, you know, maybe 10 seconds runs off by accident.
Is this the fourth quarter?
No.
Oh, no?
No. A minute 19.
Still.
Ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know it's ridiculous. That's why I'm bringing it up. You know, I mean, it's the second quarter, man, and clearly that game ended up being an overtime game, so that was a bit of an issue. But a minute, I think I said a minute 19 earlier, but it went from 13:32 to 12:10 while they're trying to sort out a measurement. You saw, I mean, people were confused. They're walking around like, what is going on? And of course, you know, the refs end up saying the game clock is correct. Yeah, they really check the clock for accuracy. I mean,
good job, good effort.
Yeah, good job, good effort, guys. That was a big bag of butt suck. And I mean, seriously, is it that hard to manage the clock correctly?
False start. Offense. Everyone but the center.
Yeah, nice job. Nice job, guys. You get a big fat whiff on that. The other play that was ridiculous was Trendon Holliday in the game, the Broncos-Panthers game. And, I mean, it's a great play, right? It's a 76-yard punt return. He's booking it into the end zone, and he goes DeSean Jackson and like flips the ball out of his hand, and it just runs in the end zone. Now, from my understanding, scoring plays are subject to review.
Yes, all scoring plays.
All scoring plays are subject to review. So if they reviewed this, how did they not realize that he threw the ball out of his hand before he crossed the plane?
They didn't review it.
The plane. Yeah. What kind of crap is that? I mean, seriously?
Personal file, 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
Well, I mean, the Broncos were given the business all over the Panthers fans, the Panthers Stadium, the Panthers Stadium, the coaches, the sideline, the cheerleaders, the owner, Carolina. I think the Broncos collectively took a dump on anything and everything related to Cam Newton, Sham Newton, Stam Newton, picks, flicks. I mean, you name it, dude. The Broncos absolutely whooped their ass. But when that play happened, it was early in the game, and that was a huge, you know, that's one of those things that can be a huge momentum shift.
Right.
Because if they had called that correctly, that should have been a touchback, Carolina ball.
Right. And look, who knows what would have happened. I mean, still, Denver probably would have whooped their ass anyway.
Yeah.
Because John Fox wasn't going to let his old team beat him anyway.
No. and credit to John Fox. I mean, I know that had to be satisfying to go down to Carolina. You know, the back end of his tenure in Carolina was not that kind.
No.
There was a lot of ugly football.
It was.
I don't know. I can't think of the quarterback's name. The one that threw like 5 picks in a game.
Jake DeLome.
Jake DeLome. That's right. Yeah. Well, I think that's because I wanted to forget him. At this rate, he should have been a Redskin quarterback.
Well, not anymore. Not under this regime.
No. Definitely not. But, you know, either way, you've got 2 consecutive weeks where the refs have a batch of game-altering, momentum-altering, I'm not going to say game-deciding, but those things have a heavy impact on game flow. You know, and every week when we talk about the NFL, there's always some game or some segment where we end up talking about game flow and situational management and how small some of these margins are between teams. And stuff like that, to me, has a psychological impact on a team and can, I don't want to say break spirit, but I think it, you know, it screws with you, and it can impact momentum and game flow, and it can really get one particular team just, you know, if they get on a roll, they start steamrolling somebody and get that momentum. And some people don't believe in that stuff, but I've watched enough football, man.
We know.
I believe in momentum.
I've coached enough sports. I know that.
I believe it.
Look, the replacement referees would not have gotten that.
No.
No chance.
I'm not sure how bad it would have been if the replacement refs were there. I almost thought that was the Lingerie Football League guy. I mean, for real, dude. It's just very pitiful. And after all the crap that happened early in the season with the blown calls and the clock problems and the huddle issues and, you know, game flow issues, you know, all the hubbub and all the stuff that happened, we were so excited to get the regular refs back. And this is the kind of crap we're getting the past couple of weeks. Look, I know it's not everybody. I know it's not every game. But those are significant calls that are getting blown. And that's extremely unfortunate. I don't understand why. But when you look at some of the articles and some of the stories, they're like, well, you know, the league needs to do something about this. Yeah, you need to get the damn calls right, man. And I don't know how these refs are getting graded out, how these crews are getting evaluated. But these guys that are making those kind of calls, dude, I don't want to see any of that kind of nonsense in the playoffs, dude. I'm going to be pissed if those kind of calls are happening playoff time, because that's the kind of thing that could essentially become a game decider, you know? And that, let me tell you, man, I do not like that.
In my opinion, that sucked.
It did. It's because it did, man. It's because it did.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, they do. Don't tell me that, man.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
About as crappy as some of those calls taste.
Oh.
You know, really kind of pitiful. So that part is very frustrating to me. But
I thought Jim Mora would have came out with the playoffs rant again, but I
guess you want more Mora?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
It's November, man. Come on.
Beautiful, man.
That beautiful, one, man. That soundbite was just broken. It didn't even really, it was like, beautiful.
Beautiful.
We'll go with that one.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
That sounds more like bootiful.
Beautiful.
Don't you think? I don't think it really sounds like... I mean, I know it's supposed to be beautiful, but it sounds like bootiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
We talking about practice.
Yeah, we are. No, it's too soon for you, Allen Iverson. We're not ready for you yet.
No, not quite.
Not ready for you yet. Yeah, not ready for you. One day. One soundbite. One segment. I'm sure it will happen at some point. So those things are crap.
Well, I hope that Cam Newton did a couple of things in this game.
Oh, Cam Newton?
Yes.
Yeah, what
number one, I hope he got Peyton's phone number.
Actually, at the end, I didn't think he spent a lot of time talking to Peyton. It kind of looked like he went up to him and was like, yeah, okay, congratulations.
Well, and I also hope he took some notes on how you play quarterback in the NFL.
I don't think he did. I think he was too busy working on his, you know. I think he actually, I was going to joke around about his celebration, but did you see all the times the Broncos went into the Superman, like, pose?
Well, yes, and quite frankly, I thought it was hilarious.
Oh, I thought it was great. I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. There was one.
I actually thought they did it better than Cam.
They did do it better than Cam. You know, mainly because they did it when they were ahead.
Yeah.
And they were winning the game, not when it's 36-7 or whatever that Giants beat down to the Panthers was. There was one shot on the telecast, and it was the Broncos. I don't remember if it was after a taint or a safety or whatever, but anyway, they were in the end zone. And the defensive players start doing the whole Superman thing, and it's kind of a low camera angle looking up at the player, mm-hmm. and you just see behind the player all these blue empty seats.
Oh,
because the Panthers fans were like, "This game's done, dude. I'm getting out of here." So
that's bad.
Nice way to head to the exits. So good job there, buddy. Good job. Good effort. No. Broncos whooped their ass.
It was a beat down. And by the way, this week Peyton Manning threw his 420th touchdown pass, which tied him with Dan Marino for second all time, behind Brett Favre.
Bat Favre, Batman Favre. Oh Lord,
Mr. Twit Dick himself.
Oh, it was supposed to be Twit Bick. Oh, yeah. I've forgotten about all the Twit Bick stuff. God, that might have to be broken back out one of these days. We really have to do a Sports Brew Greatest Hits, man. Brett Favre and the Twit Bick with Jen Sturger.
But this week, okay, 420th touchdown pass, the same week that Colorado legalized marijuana.
What was I trying to say?
DynastySportsEmpire.com.
Up yours. Oh, wrong soundbite.
Puff, maybe. Puff, give.
Oh, wait a second.
Puff, puff, give. Quit fucking up the rotation.
Puff, puff, pass, bitches.
Okay, in all seriousness, we were not smoking pot, okay, either in that podcast, whenever that one was, or this one. However, it is funny for all the people that actually are like the potheads, the crunchy granola, the 420ers out there, 420, you know, all the potheads will understand that reference, and if you don't get that reference, then good for you, because you probably don't ever smoke pot. But if you're not familiar with the whole 420 term, just do a little Google search on it. Just don't do it on your work computer. You know, just please don't do that. Don't get yourself in trouble.
Yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that. Puff, puff, pass. Messing up the rotation, man. Ridiculous. Yeah, Mile High Stadium, really.
And Mile High Stadium,
baby. You got to love it. I mean, putting the high in Mile High.
They are. The best part is Peyton Manning also bought 20 Papa John's franchises recently as well. So when you get high in Colorado, you can go buy Papa John's and make Peyton Manning even richer.
They might have a deal there where, like, you know, you score X number, you know, for each touchdown, you get like a free topping or something. That's what they do. Well, you know, that's what they do with the Redskins, Papa John's or whoever it is up there. Of course, they don't score a lot of touchdowns, so you end up with a cheese pizza, but, you know. That'd be like one bread.
A cheese pizza. Yeah.
You get no, you just get cheese on it, man. You get no extra toppings.
Free breadsticks for as many touchdowns as the Redskins score.
Yeah, you'd end up with half a breadstick and a half empty garlic sauce container. Be a bunch of suck, man.
Well, this is, I ate half of this one. You can have it.
Woo! Yeah.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, Mark's always chiming in with some random woo. Mark really needs to expand his vocabulary. It is somewhat limited.
What did he say?
Woo! That's what he says. Good job, Mark.
It's an outrage.
Yeah, I know. It happens. Other big thing from this weekend, other than potheads in Colorado getting the munchies and helping to enrich Peyton Manning. That crafty bastard.
Smart, man.
Yeah, Mile High Stadium, baby.
Freaking genius.
Whoop, whoop. The other thing that's really a big takeaway from this weekend, quite frankly, is just the number of injuries and concussions.
Oh, man.
And it really is a long list. You've got Fred Jackson. Oh, excuse me. He has concussion-like syndrome. I always like the head coaches.
Symptoms.
Yeah. They don't want to say that the players have a concussion. They just want to say, oh, you know, they've got concussion-like symptoms. Look, if you have concussion-like symptoms, guess what?
You got a concussion.
You got a concussion, buddy. You know, I mean, that's like, I have gas-like symptoms. No, dude, I mean, you know.
You got a fart.
That's got a fart, man. And really, you know, hey, maybe later on in this podcast, by the time this thing is over, I might have, like, you know, inebriated-like symptoms.
Well, you'll be inebriated.
Yeah, in all likelihood, I probably will be inebriated. You know, that's what's going to happen.
Beautiful.
Damn right. But Fred Jackson, concussion.
Yeah.
Like symptoms, concussion.
Yeah, concussion.
You got Michael Vick. With a concussion. Wink, wink.
He got knocked the F out, dude.
Well, you know, it's funny on that hit, though. When he goes down, I really didn't think it impacted him the way that it did. At least some of the hits I've seen.
He'd gotten hit the play before.
Right.
He got two plays in a row.
Right.
So he may not have even been all there on that play when he got hit the second time.
Look, I think you can make an argument he hasn't been all there this entire season. Neither has the Eagles' offensive line. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, look, that offensive line, I don't even think you call them an offensive line.
I just call them offensive.
I would be. They're more like the El Matadors. They're more like
Olé. You do like the Olé.
Ole, 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 ole,
ole.
Oh, that we didn't quite match there.
No.
Oh no!
Yeah, not quite there.
Look, we never said that we were gonna be like Sports Brew singing a cappella. We never made that promise.
No.
Never made that promise. And quite frankly, it's probably a horrible idea.
It is.
What up?
Not that. Not that, buddy. I don't even know who that is in that soundbite. I got no clue who that is.
Me either. It's if just, you know it, let us know.
Yeah. If you hear that and you know who that is that says, what up? I think it's off the Tony Bruno soundboard.
What up?
I have no idea who that is. And, you know, actually, I don't care who that is. I do know this, though.
That's not your mother. It's a man, baby.
At least we know it's a dude, you know.
It is a dude.
It is a dude. It is a dude. Yeah, whatever. Crap. So you've got Michael Vick, wink, wink, with his concussion. Mm. And some people have said it might be an aggregate thing, and maybe you're right. Maybe that stems from some of the earlier plays. On that particular one that he went down that they kept showing a replay of, I mean, his head did hit the ground, but it's just one of those things that didn't look like it was a really, really hardcore heavy hit. So kind of surprising, but you could see him on the sideline just grimacing in pain.
Yeah.
You know, you knew he wasn't right. And whether or not I'm not a real big tinfoil hat guy. That's not really how I roll. However, it is a bit convenient given the way the season is going, and I think it's abundantly clear that Vic's not going to be there next year.
No.
And obviously there's a lot of doubt if Andy Reid's going to be there. I don't think Reid is, but
I think it's the end of the road for Andy Reid.
Do I have to cue up Boys to Men?
No.
No?
Not until it's official.
Not until it's official? Then we can rock that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to leave that. You know, I think Kentucky earned that last year.
They earned it. But they went out the right way.
They went out the right way. I don't think Andy Reid's going to go out the right way. I think he's just going to ride.
I think we'll do hit the road, Jack.
Yeah. If he ends up in Dallas, he is going to go back some more just with the opposing team. How bitter would it be for Eagles fans, incidentally, if Reid left and if he went to Dallas, stayed in the division, and whooped their ass down the road? I will say this, though. if there's anywhere Holmgren, Andy Reid goes, you know what I actually think would be a nice, and to me, I would be intrigued by it.
What's that?
San Diego.
Andy Reid to San Diego?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see that. That intrigue. I can't tell you why it intrigues me, but it intrigues me.
I think he's got a better chance of going to Cleveland, though, because of Joe Banner.
Yeah, but...
But at least...
Why would you want to go to Cleveland?
Well, Brandon, first of all, you got to get the uniforms changed.
Brandon Whedon should get traded to Denver. Know what I'm saying?
Good call right there.
That's a future trade in the making.
Excellent.
Whedon. Yeah, dude. Then he can totally live up to his namesake. Chilling at Mile High. Look, as long as Peyton's healthy, Whedon could go there. He could totally just ride the pond.
Buy some Papa John's pizza.
Yeah, buy some Papa John's pizza. He could puff pass, just not on the field. He could just puff pass on the sideline. It'd be great. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Not bad.
He might not be part of the starting rotation, but he could.
He'll be part of the rotation.
He'd be part of the rotation. Yeah, either way. So yeah, okay. Michael Vick, Brandon Whedon. You also have Doomerville, who had what?
To finish a quick thought. Andy Reid to San Diego with Philip Rivers there, I think would actually be a decent combination.
I'd like it, but I think they'd have to get rid of.
It's almost too late in a way, but I think
for Philip Rivers.
What is he like? 30, 31?
Yeah, same age as Eli, roughly.
All right. Well, he's got.
I don't think it's too late.
All right, he's got time then, but they'd have to. I mean, whoever they hire as the GM, because they'd have to get rid of A.J. Smith.
He's got
to
go. A.J., Lord of No Rings Smith.
Yeah, he's got to go.
Yeah.
So if Reed were to go to San Diego, he'd have to get a GM that got along with him, and they'd have to very quickly turn that roster over.
Dude, to get out of the pressure cooker that is Philadelphia, or these days Philadelphia, and to go over West Coast, a little more laid back, you know.
Now, he was an assistant at San Fran, right? Or was he in Green Bay on that staff with Holmgren?
I want to say it was Green Bay.
Yeah, I think
we'd have to double check the whole
with like Mariucci and all those guys.
All those Gruden.
Yeah,
dude, there's a lot of
one of the better trees
within the past couple decades. Yeah, yeah. The Green Bay one was prolific.
The '95 Browns and the Green Bay Packers of '92. You know those.
Yeah,
were pretty
I mean
good
you got
trees.
Like some of those San Francisco coaching staffs, yeah. All that stuff. Yeah, there's certain teams that have like this nucleus.
We would have to go back in time and look at those nucleus of coaches, but yeah, some of those trees are pretty good.
Green Bay staff. 90s. Green Bay staff was impressive.
Yes,
and that's what
she
there you
said.
Go. That is what she said. Yeah, man.
You think we know each other that well, guys?
Yeah, maybe just a little. Whoa, not that well.
Well, not that well, but
We don't know each other in the biblical sense. Probably a good thing. At least you didn't spit any beer out when I said that. That would have kind of sucked.
Yeah.
So
alcohol abuse.
Yeah, but Doomerville hurt his shoulder. Still waiting on if there's any severe kind of ramifications for that injury. I've heard and I've seen articles where it's not as severe as they initially thought. So which would be good for him. He's an incredible player. Obviously, I think part of the perhaps one of the most key people in that defense really has been Von Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Doomerville, obviously significantly good. Von Miller, and Champ Bailey still has a little bit in the tank.
Von Miller's really starting to take over.
Dude, that dude is beast.
Yeah, a lot of the scouts came out in last year's draft and said that Von Miller was the most complete player in that draft.
Right now, he's being a complete badass.
Well, that's what he needs to be.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something, man. That's what that team needs. Is they need an enforcer on that defense.
Mm-hmm.
To he can get after the quarterback. He can stop your run game. He can go back in coverage. I mean that's a menace right there.
Can he stop your run game if you have Mexican for lunch?
Well,
just curious.
I don't know if he'd want to stop that kind of run game.
Okay.
He may make you run for the border, but
olé.
Ole, 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 ole.
Oh, man. Shannon's singing again. No.
People have stopped listening to the podcast at this point. And I deserve that one.
I blame you for that, MacGuffin. So, other injuries of note. Von Miller's a stud, dude. I also think we're talking about all these concussions. Other concussions, Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
With the Houston game.
Yeah, when he ran into that player.
Oh, yeah. I like the guy, by the way. I like the guy. It's Dobbins. So on this particular play in this Houston game, Cutler does like this little weird kind of stutter step. He's like trying to find whatever. And he's very close to going beyond the line of scrimmage. Now, he part of his body was beyond the line of scrimmage.
But his feet were back.
He still had a foot behind that. And as long as you have any part of your body behind that, it's not where, you know, you're throwing the ball. It's if you have any part of your body behind the line of scrimmage, then you are behind the line of scrimmage. But Dobbins said essentially that the NFL shouldn't fine him for the Cutler hit because Cutler ran into him. Now, I don't know how on earth, you know, clearly Dobbins has been spending time in Colorado ordering pizza and hanging out at Mile High. Because if he really believes that, he's been part of a heavy rotation with Whedon. I mean, there's just no doubt about it, man. Anyway, Cutler got blown up. Now, they did throw the flags, but at that point, that's great that they throw the flags out. But once your quarterback gets lit up like Cutler did, and he's had concussions before.
Oh, yeah. A couple of years ago.
And he's taken a beating. You know, obviously, he's willing. Cutler, for all the crap that he gets, Cutler is willing to put his body out there. He's taken a lot of hits.
He has.
And he's willing to hold on to the ball and, you know, try to make a big play. You know, it's just what it is, man. You know, so I think you have to give him credit for that.
You said balls.
Well, a couple of seconds ago, but I did. I should fail horn myself for the delayed soundbite. Yeah, there you go. You're welcome, by the way. But Dobbins lit him up. And flag or not, at that point, he finished out the half. He did not come back into the game. Obviously, that was a significant issue for Chicago going forward. And we're going to get to kind of a run-through of the games a little bit later. But I don't know what's going to happen with Cutler if he's going to play next week. Next week's a huge game for Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
Because they've got to play San Francisco.
Monday Night Football.
In San Francisco.
Yeah.
That's a big, big game. Bears are 7-2.
7-2. And I think San Fran's, 6-2-1?
Have to double check because they had the McNabb game or the tie football game with the Rams. I want to refer to that as the McNabb Bowl. Maybe that way McNabb will actually understand how ties work in the regular season. Good job, buddy. But anyway, yeah, we'd have to double check the record. But I'm not sure that Cutler's going to be back for that game. It depends. Once you start getting into saying, well, it's a concussion, it's this, they have to go through the process of evaluation and all that kind of jibba-jabba.
6-2-1.
All right. It's 49ers, 6-2-1.
So 7-2 versus 6-2-1.
Yeah. And, you know, clearly this is a game that's going to have implications for home field or playoff seeding or, you know, whatever the case may be. It's going to be an issue. And I think Chicago is still in a good position to – I don't know that I think they're going to win the NFC North, but I think they would be in the mix for a wild card out of it.
Oh, yeah.
But you never know. There's still enough games left in the season, depending on what happens with Green Bay, depending on what happens with the NFC West. I mean, Seattle is stealing some games.
Well,
there's some good football there.
It sets up an interesting matchup, though, on Monday night if Alex Smith and Jay Cutler cannot go.
Well, that's the other – yeah.
And you have the backups, and you have Kaepernick versus Captain Check Down, Jason Campbell.
Check Down Charlie, baby.
So, I almost think that both coaches are going to say they're going to let their defenses, you know, dictate the terms of that game.
Dude, that could be a really, really, really ugly football game.
I'm thinking so.
As a Redskins fan, I endured a lot of ugly years of Jason Campbell, and there are some severe Jason Campbell apologists. And, look, I don't hate the guy, but I watched enough of Jason Campbell play that I don't really ever want to watch him play again. And
that was brutal to watch Sunday night.
For that second half when he was – and I know Houston has a good defense, but God bless Jason Campbell. He had a couple of nice throws, but when it mattered, late in game, couldn't do it, threw into an issue. Like the last pass.
That was bad.
And I know it was late. It was largely irrelevant at that point, but still, last pass was just ugly. I think he tried to check it down. Or throw just a relatively short pass to a guy that had like four defenders on him. It just wasn't going to work. Look, at that point, the game's almost over. Wait, just take a deep shot, dude. Throw for the flag. You know, go ahead and give it a shot. Goofball. It's just a big fat fail on Jason Campbell. But no, you're right. We might be looking at Colin Kaepernick and Jason Campbell leading the 49ers and the Bears, respectively. I don't know that that's going to drive awesome ratings, that people want to see the matchup of those two guys.
Now, look, there's two huge fan bases there, so there'll be a ton of people watching it regardless. But
you might have to – that might be one of those games that you need to create a drinking game out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
With those two guys.
Take a shot.
Yeah. Check down, take a shot. Oh, you wouldn't make it through a quarter.
Oh, Lord, no.
You can't do that.
Not with Jason Campbell.
No. And then with Kaepernick, I haven't seen a ton of Kaepernick. I know
he's mobile, but yeah, he's got a cannon of an arm.
He's obviously willing to run because they've brought him in there kind of for a couple of packages and a couple of plays, and he's hauled, you know, hauled some ass out there. Dude is big. He can move.
He's a big boy now.
He can move. There's no doubt about that.
I think Randy Moss would probably like for him to be in that game.
Well, I'd like for Randy Moss to be in that game for more than 15 dummy snaps. I'm Randy Moss. Look at me just run that right down the line for nothing.
I don't know if they're saving him or if he's just not part of the game plan. Well, what the deal is.
We've theorized about that, and I don't know.
I think he's got a lot in the tank.
He still has stuff left in the tank. The dude can still play. All you have to do is think back to some of the moments where he actually has had opportunities with the ball. He has still made some very nice moves. There was that really beautiful pass that Smith got to him a few weeks ago, and we talked about this.
And he stiff-armed.
Hey, he stiff-armed. He ran around. He did all this stuff. Dude, he just glided to the end zone. It was beautiful. Randy Moss is clearly still capable of doing that. I think they're being smart with the snap count because you don't want Moss out there for 40 snaps. No. You're actually seeing a similar thing with Andre Johnson in Houston.
Yeah, they are limiting him because they don't want him to get worn out. And all
no,
that.
With some of your marquee players, and Andre Johnson has not been the Andre Johnson most people know this year. There's reasons for that, but I think they're being conservative with how they're using because they want him healthy for the backstretch, and then if they really need to open the offense up, and then certainly the playoffs. Maybe that's true for Randy Moss. I'm not sure. As far as the Monday night game, that might be a bruiser. You do have two phenomenal defenses, and, I mean, Chicago's defense is just beastly ridiculous.
It's going to be an ice bath game.
Yeah.
Getting the ice bath after that game.
Yeah, that's probably a game where both of them are going to wish they had a bye week the following week.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're going to be seriously beat up. So, I guess if you're a 49ers fan or a Bears fan, you're going to be all tuned in and amped up for it. But be prepared for some ugly football if it's Jason Campbell. I don't know what to say about Kaepernick. I'm hard-pressed to see him busting out and running all over the Bears defense.
From what I've seen of him, he looks pretty good. But let's see how you are for an entire game. That's a different story.
Instead of just rolling in for a little bit of spot duty and just like a package or a play. Or whatever, when a team actually prepares exclusively for Kaepernick. Now, I don't know that Alex Smith is going to be out. I mean, to be fair. Now, Alex Smith did get hit, did leave the game with a concussion. He has gone for a second opinion. They haven't said anything definitive about whether or not he's going to play. So, we'll kind of see how that works itself out.
He's got to be cleared by a neurologist that's not part of the 49ers.
Well, you know, that actually kind of sets up an interesting bit of dialogue because one of the issues right now, here we're talking earlier about this whole idea of concussion-like symptoms and some of the wordplay. And, I mean, the Redskins got in trouble when Griffin got the concussion from the Atlanta game, and they didn't come out and clearly state, well, he has a concussion. Well,
the thing is he never went back in the game, so I don't know what the big deal is.
Well, you know, they want the coaches and the organizations to quickly come out and say he has this, he's not coming back, this is why. Not be like concussion-like symptoms.
But it's during the game, and if the other team catches wind of that, you don't want to give out that information so that they have it.
Right. You I mean, I understand.
You know, the NFL, look, if he doesn't go back in the game, that's okay, great. He didn't go back in the game. That's the most important thing is his safety. You know, what you always promote, NFL, player safety first.
Well, they do, but let's be real. In a way, they don't.
No.
If we're going to talk about the concussions, and we're going to talk about, like, the neurologists and the team doctors and all this stuff, and particularly this past weekend, you have to look at Vic, Cutler, Alex Smith. And Vic, I think, was pulled very quickly.
Yes.
Once he had the concussion. Jay Cutler finishes the half. They talk about it at halftime, reevaluating at halftime. He doesn't return. With Alex Smith, Alex Smith also continued to play before he was taken out. So if you start factoring in, and this is a fair point, right? You know, who should be evaluating the players? Should the coaches be the only ones making that call? Does the NFL need to bring out some kind of third party? Do they need to have like the concussion review booth? I mean, I don't know where you go with this because you ask the player, the player may just be like, no, I'm fine, dude.
Yeah, well, the players.
Who do you play for? The chefs.
Yes, the chefs. Players have the macho, bravado attitude that they're going to play no matter what. And look, if you've played sports and you're competitive, you don't want to go out of the game. You don't want to be on the sidelines. You want to be in there helping your teammates out.
Right.
And that's the way it's been for however many years NFL's been going on. And basketball and baseball.
Well,
and
any hockey, sport. Any sport you're talking about. You essentially, a lot of times you have to drag people off the field. But if you're going to have this huge push, at least on the surface, and argue about player safety, I think it's a fair point to say, does there need to be somebody else involved in the process other than the coach, other than the team doctor, who clearly are going to have their biases? You have multiple layers to this. Number one, you have players that aren't going to that will refuse to come out. You have players that will go back in. I think Brady Quinn did it.
Well, he probably didn't know where he was.
No, he still doesn't know where
he thought
he
was still at Notre Dame.
Yeah, South Bend. There it is, buddy. Golden Domers. Yeah, good job. Brady Quinn. God. I don't know why Chiefs fans would boo Matt Cassel getting hurt if the alternative is Brady Quinn.
Did you not see the Cleveland days there, Kansas City?
No, most people didn't. Well, that's Cleveland. Give me a break.
Even Cleveland didn't see him.
How many national games of the week do you think Cleveland's had? Yeah, that's right. Exhale.
Like one in the
None.
Last 5 years?
No.
That was a Thursday night game.
Nobody really wants to see them. I mean, I'm sure there's some Cleveland Browns fans out there. I feel for you guys because you really got the raw end of a couple of deals here. But let's be real, man. Your team sucks. And if you're talking like national football games, and I don't mean National Football League. I mean not like national game of the weeks, that kind of stuff. There's in no way, shape, or form is there going to be a large base of people going, God, I really want to see Whedon. I really want to see the Browns play today. Are you kidding? I want to see Trent Richardson beast up on some people. Look,
the only people saying that are the people that have Trent Richardson on
their
fantasy team.
Yeah, entirely possible. So now there are reports. Chris Mortensen of ESPN was reporting that the NFLPA executive director, that would be one of our favorite people, Damaris Smith, wants the league to essentially hire concussion specialists that aren't affiliated with any particular team to be on the sideline to help oversee treatment, to help oversee testing of players who, you know, potentially have concussions. Now, maybe that would work out better. I'm not really sure. But I think it's quite clear that this past weekend, there's an issue that needs to be addressed. How significant is it? I don't know. It exists. And clearly, whether it's the player choice, coach's choice, an oversight, self-selection, bias of some kind, whatever, the players don't want to pull themselves out.
In some ways, you almost have to protect the players from themselves.
Yeah, I think that's really going to be the argument here. The only thing that's a little bit of an issue would be if you had one of these independent guys that wasn't actually independent. Think of the referee that was the Saints fan. You're adding an extra variable into the mix with that particular person's own whatever biases may be. Maybe they're really conservative with how they look at concussions. So if somebody shakes their head the wrong way, you know, come here, let me check you out. You also have to get into, you know, establishing baselines for individuals. I don't know how, you know, thorough or detailed you could have as far as an in-game examination. But, dude, the fan bases and the people in the stands would go bananas if all of a sudden players are getting rotated out to, like, the concussion booth and they're just getting evaluated somewhere on the sideline.
Yeah.
It's a delicate situation. I'm not sure the best way to handle it. Sometimes when a player gets hit, like with Alex Smith, I mean, the way he got hit, you kind of felt like he got the proverbial bell rung.
Right.
And clearly he made some, you know, facial expressions that clued you in. Same thing with Michael Vick. Didn't so much know it at the time on the field, but you could see it on the sideline because of the way his, you know, the kind of facial expressions he had. Matter of fact, you know, I think there's so many concussions going on and so much attention for all these players. I actually believe Kevin Cobb is jealous. I think he might go get concussed either in practice or in a game this week, just so some people are going to talk about
him. He may do it in his house.
Him.
He may just fall down the stairs.
Yeah, he might just run into his own door.
He may be what's his name? Gus Frerotte.
Gus Frerotte. Headbutt the wall, man.
Yeah, headbutt the wall.
I think he should. I think that would be absolutely awesome. So, you know, clearly there's an issue, and that's something that would have to be addressed if you're going to get any kind of third party in. Clearly some of the, you know, the teams and players have their own biases, but if you get a third party in, I'm not sure how that impacts the game. Could be a little bit of an issue. All right, we're going to go ahead and step away for a minute, take a little break, refresh ourselves, stretch our legs, catch some air, all that kind of good stuff. We're going to bounce back in a couple of minutes with a whole bunch of NFL breakdown, college breakdown, and Lord only knows what other kind of ridiculous shenanigans and or songs may get thrown into the mix. Somehow I have the feeling, the sneaking suspicion, that Shannon may have a suggestion.
Or two.
Or
two. We're not talking about the Cam Newton suggestion box either.
Yeah, no, no. Either a suggestion or two or a suggestion and brew.
There
I think
go.
It might happen. So look, as always, you can track us down on Facebook. That's going to be facebook.com/sportsbrew. You can track us down and stream us or download us and get down with the jibba jabba of the Sports Brew. That's going to be on either iTunes and or Stitcher Radio, keywords,
Sports Brew.
Go figure. Shocker, shocker, shocker. So fun stuff. As always, we'll catch you on the flip side. I hope you rally back up for part two. This was a mega podcast, apparently.
It was.
So we're going to split this jibby jobby up, help break it down for you guys. So peace out. Catch you on the flip side. Rewind, back it up, listen some more, and get ready for the second half of ridiculousness. Sports Brew style, baby.
See you soon.
Peace out.